Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Gone 7:19 Central African time. At that time of the morning, we welcome our very own Adam Kamda on his slot of fishing. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat. Lovely, cool morning on the Durban beachfront, completely overcast. There was some forecast of light rain, but I don't see any rain at the moment. Lots of bathers on the beaches, nice festive atmosphere. Ibrahim on must catch has a crew out there fishing on the back line. And as I look straight out to sea, Shafat, I can see whales breaching. Such an amazing sight off Durban. And we've had quite a fantastic whale season in the last few weeks, Shafat.
No, absolutely. And what a beautiful way to start our program, giving us a graphic the description of the Indian Ocean, the whales coming through, people there. And, you know, the ocean has something very therapeutic. Even when you talk about it, the soul gets, you know, a feeling of openness, Adam. When you look at the ocean, nothing is claustrophobic. It's all like vast, and there's an expanse that you can look into the horizon, the never-ending horizon, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, and the mood changes from day to day. Today we've got an offshore wind, and it's really flattened the ocean along the Durban Golden Mile. So the surfers are relaxing on the surfboards, just sitting, waiting for the set, waiting for the waves to come through. And sometimes when it's when the skies are grey like this and it's really windy, you get really rough waves, and the sea looks angry. But on a day like this, it's peaceful and calm and tranquil, Shafat.
Well, you talk about the tranquility, the peace, and the special pigeons or doves. They love you, and they'll come and look at you. Hey, Adam, click, 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 and you click them in the right position. But, you know, you think about fishing and you think about essentials with all the different facets of angling. There are a few, you know, essentials that you always need, Adam. For example, a good set of pliers goes a long way and can be used in most facets of angling, from fly fishing to big game fishing. And when the hook gets you into your thumb, you need that pliers to cut the other end of the hook. And, you know, a few other essentials that you need when you go out fishing, Adam, you know, it comes handy. Talk to us about it.
Yes, Shafat. What I learned recently, obviously through experience, is how invaluable a good pair of gloves is on board, Shafat. A few trips ago, I went out to sea, and there were some whales breaching, so I reached for my phone on the dashboard, and as I turned, I saw one of my rods go overboard. Fortunately for me, this fish swam around the other line, and when I reeled in the second rod, I managed to retrieve this rod, Shafat. I was using 15-pound braid, which is very thin, and I made the mistake of trying to pull this up by hand without wearing any gloves. And it really got quite some nasty nicks on my fingers. Also, recently fishing with live baits, we've been picking up a lot of hammerhead sharks, and even handling these sharks. You know, if you're careful, you can pick them out of the water, remove the hooks, and safely drop them back. But it's handy to have gloves on, especially when you are holding the leader to pull the fish closer to the boat. So there's a lot of your hands go through a lot of battering, Shafat. And I think, you know, a good pair of quality gloves goes a long way on any fishing trip.
So in other words, these gloves are hook-proof. Or if a shark takes a bite at your fingers, they can't get through, Adam?
It's not quite hook-proof, Shafat. It won't protect you against the shark's teeth, and it won't protect you against the sharp point of the hook. So you still have to be really careful how you handle the shark. But it does give you a better grip. So you are safer if you're holding the fish quite firmly with the aid of the gloves. Then it's much safer than doing it bare hands, trying to hold the shark and avoid the teeth and still try and remove the hooks, Shafat.
Adam, let's talk about the fishermen of yesteryear, you know, our forefathers. When they went fishing, I mean, they just had the khaki or Bermudas on and the old T-shirt or something like that. They didn't worry about that, you know, designer sunglasses and looking good in that, like, hey, look at my jacket, look at my cap. Hey, I'm here to show you what I'm all about. They were not fashion conscious, but they were pulling out the fish. And as you said, they didn't wear the gloves. They were the rough and, you know, rough people that were made to stand the test of time. How would you do a comparison with the fishermen of today to those of yesteryear, Adam?
You're quite right, Shafar. They had very basic gear. And even now, when you look at fishing videos on YouTube, you see a lot of videos posted in remote islands, and their style of fishing is still preserved from the olden days, Shafar. You often see them handline fishing with bare hands. And, you know, you'd find that those fishermen are toughened, and even if you feel the skin on the hands, it feels like leather. So, you know, your body really adapts to whatever you're doing. But coming to the present time, Shafar, there's been lots of advances in sunglasses, as you said, to protect the eyes, headgear to protect your face from the sun, all manner of sunblock, fishing shirts with long sleeves, hoodies built in, and even a buff built in to protect your neck and face area. And then we have skin-tight lungs, which allows you to wade into the water. And then when you come out, it dries quickly, or even quick-drying shorts, special shoes that you have to walk on rocks, or even if you're walking on the sand and you want the water to drain out of your shoes. So there's a whole plethora of fishing gear, fishing wear, fishing apparel to wear. And as you know, with anything that you wear, Shafar, it lends to fashion. Some people prefer the camo colors. Some prefer very bright colors, and some prefer to just be in between. So that's where the fashion thing comes in. And then also you have different brands, you know, making amazing products using different quality of materials. So you have huge variety of price points, Shafar, whether you just want to buy a basic fishing shirt or you want to buy a really professional fishing shirt with the rated sun protection built into the fabric, Shafar.
Alhamdulillah, a message on the screen here. Dawood says, Mashallah, I'm enjoying the conversation, Brother Shafar. You and Adam always keep us up to speed on fishing, but much more. He says, what about the quality sun-protective clothing that allows us to keep fishing even in the heat of summer? It seems as if this material is cool all the time, and it's like a air conditioner that you are wearing. And I must not forget to remind you, Chef and Adam, about a decent headlight, which makes all the difference if you're fishing in any form of low light. With our new technology, we have all these things. Our sport is, getting better and maybe more easier, and also our pouch is waterproof, and not forgetting you must carry a holster with a gun in it.
Oh, yes, Shafar, I saw a video clip recently of these guys on a boat reeling up a halibut, which is a large flatfish. And the guy takes out a gun and fires a few shots into it. I don't know if he's referring to keeping a gun in your holster to subdue the fish, or here in South Africa, it might be for other reasons, Shafar. Coming back to fishing gear and the shirts, if you look at a fisherman on the beach in the blisteringly hot sun, you wonder, why is he wearing long sleeves and his head is covered? It looks so hot, and yet the rest of the bathers are all walking around in the sea trunks. These shirts, Shafat, are UV rated. They give you a certain protection from ultraviolet rays of the sun. And most of them are, cool to the touch. They're quick drying, so if it gets wet, they dry quickly. But as well as it lets the air through and, they're breathable, so you don't end up standing sweaty on the beach. It really does keep you, literally in the shade, and it keeps you cool at the same time, Shafat.
Fahim says, Alhamdulillah, Brother Shafaat and Adam Kamda. Jazakallah khair for a good show. I want to tell both of you that I generally go overseas when it comes to December. But this year, I decided that I'll spend more time on our beaches. And I want to know from Adam, what is the best beach to go for during this December period? And also, I want to know, what are those giants that I can catch? Because I am not a top fisherman, but I got the bucks to buy. Adam, how do you respond to Fahimi there?
Yes, Shafat, as you know, my favorite spot is here on Durban's Golden Mile. It has a lot to offer. We've got amazing beaches from Ushaka all the way up towards Blue Lagoon. On the fishing front, the Durban Harbour offers all the manner of charters for charter boat fishing in the harbour, fishing just on the backline. Our backline and harbour has been phenomenal over the last few months with snapper salmon. Then further north, you've got Blue Lagoon, which even as a holidaymaker, you can carry your fishing gear and fish for garrick and shad. We've had an amazing garrick run. It's quite a late run. Normally, these are prolific in summer, in winter, sorry. We are really on the brink of summer, and the guys are catching some amazing garrick. Then further up to Bulito, there's some amazing accommodation, restaurants, and beaches to enjoy. Not forgetting our south coast, the Margate area, Uvongo area. Uvongo is one of my favorites with a beautiful waterfall crashing into an estuary which leads into the ocean. It's very, very scenic. They have paddle boats there that you can hire. It's a good fishing spot. And from there, you can explore so many good fishing spots on the south coast, Shapat. And then fishing-wise, if you really want to catch the monsters, the yellowtail are on the bite. I saw a picture posted yesterday of Rob Hamburger and Craig, forget his surname, both with 1.5 yellowtail each. 1.5 meaning they've landed one, and the other one, they lost half to the sharks. And these are huge fish. I think Rob's biggest fish was 17 kilos. And these fish make really good eating. There are some charter boats that that specialize in certain types of species during the season. And I saw Jake's and his crew out at sea. I think they were fighting 4 of these yellowtails at one go, Shabbat.
Rolf says, Assalamu alaikum. I want to tell Adam that I am afraid of the deep sea. So I will prefer fishing on shallower areas where I catch smaller fish. So if the giants come to that shallow water, I will run away. Please, Adam, tell me that those giant fish don't come to shallow waters, because I'm going to take my small rod and I'll take some of my pilchards and go and catch like my lighty days. Adam, how you respond to our brother here?
Yes, Shafar, for light tackle angling, his best spot would be fishing in the Durban Harbour. Ibrahim on Muscatch knows all the nooks and crannies and knows exactly where the fish are. He fishes daily, often does multiple trips, so he's really mapped out the Durban Harbour well. Your next spot would be the back line. On a day like today when it's too windy to go deep sea, a lot of the boats would opt for the back line. The area around Ushaka gets really calm and sheltered with the offshore wind. And I can see the boats lining up there at the moment. And the fishing has been really good, as I said, with snapper salmon. And then even along the back line and near our north pier and south pier, when the guys were fishing for live baits with those Yuzuri traces, they were picking up live baits, and then garrick were actually swallowing those baits. So the guys were actually fighting big garrick on those very delicate Yuzuri traces. So, you know, if it's trying for only small fish, you know, there's no guarantee that the big ones are also not going to come and try for his bait. So we are really blessed here, Shafat, on our Durban beachfront. You know, without much effort, without going really far out to sea, you can catch small, good edibles as well as some really good fighting fish like garrick, Shafat.
Shokal says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kanba, brother Shafat Khan. And please pass my salams to Mufti A.K. Hussein. I want to tell you, Adam Kanba, yesterday we didn't have so much of problems with sharks affecting us and affecting our fishing. But recently, the sharks have been a huge problem. They're more like pests. I've lost so much of money with tackles and the poor fish that they're biting off. As you said earlier on in the program, you only get caught of the fish coming out. What do we do? Can you get some repellents that will keep the shark away from our fishing spots, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, we've experienced this as well. Many of the boats fishing deep sea, especially when they anchor and they're fishing for bottom fish, as they reel the fish up, the fish are struggling on the line and fighting against the fishermen, but giving off those vibrations, and that attracts sharks. And I think the sharks of KZN have actually learned that if you hang around, you know, where the boats are anchored, you're bound to get an easy meal. And they don't bite the fish when you first hook it, because the fish is still full of life. As you reel it up and the fish gets more and more tired, and it's the last struggle as it comes close to the boat, it seems like that's when the sharks come out and chomp your catch in half. It seems as if they are just cruising beneath the boat and wait for the fish to come up. right close to the surface and then chomp them. And then we've experienced this on a recent trip. We went out towards Virginia and Blue Lagoon, and we were specifically trying for garrick. And the best way to fish for garrick is with live baits. But unfortunately, these live baits also attract sharks. And that morning on our boat, we landed about five small hammerhead sharks. One pull on a garrick, but it threw the hook. And on Lionel's boat, they experienced the same. He fished the Blue Lagoon area, and then he fished the area by Bike and Bean, just offshore, just near the shark nets. And they experienced exactly the same thing. They caught about five or six hammerhead sharks. So we, all the fishermen have experienced really prolific shark activity. So I think it bodes well for the ocean that it's a healthy system. The sharks are around, and there's obviously plenty of food for them. But from a fisherman's perspective, the listener is quite correct. They do pose to be quite a pest. We are trying to pull up some beautiful edible fish, and they always get taxed. The nickname for these sharks are the tax man. But in terms of repelling them, there's not really anything you can do. There's nothing you can put into the water, whether it be a chemical or a vibration or sound or something to annoy them and send them away. The best thing to do is, if they are, you know, annoying you, then just move on to the next spot. We often find fishing at the number one area as well. We get buzzed by a lot of sharks. So we just move a little deeper or a little shallower, and then sometimes we're able to catch good edible fish, you know, and get them up onto the boat before the sharks arrive, Shepard.
Zahid says, I know there was a time when the shark nets were prevalent, and there used to be reports every morning what was beyond the breakers. But now, are there shark nets? And I thought there were quite a few shark nets in the KZN area. But it seems as if the new hierarchy, they don't know what's a shark net or what is a fish net. Please, Adam, inform us, because it seems that we are compromised in every aspect of our municipality, and even our fishing circles. Our shorelines is infested with dead fowls, chickens, and also you'll see lots of candles, waxes, and apples, bananas, and name them. You can have a free meal on the seashores of Durban, but you'll get sick. Adam, your response?
Yes, Shafat, the sharks boat is very active. You hear from them, especially during stormy times, where they remove the shark nets, they remove the gear, and they inform the public that bathing is banned and shark nets are not in place. Then when conditions calm down, they return the shark nets back to service. And I think they do quite a splendid job, Shafat. It's pretty much done in the background. I watch them every morning, launching and heading out to sea, and they go and inspect every net. If there are any sharks caught in it, then they retrieve them and take them back to headquarters for dissection and scientific research. So they are really very active, and I think they have been quite effective as well. We haven't really had many shark encounters or shark attacks on our beachfront for many years so far.
Look at a message from Tahir. He says, Assalamu alaikum. It seems as if, Adam Kamda, that there is a scarcity of a mackerel. And this is the important bait to catch the big ones. So I need some mackerel, live mackerel, Adam. Do you know any secret tunnels where I can fish it out? Adam, how do you respond to Tahir?
Yes, Shafar, targeting the big game fish like yellowtail, the best bait, and even garrick, the best baits are fishing with live baits. So when the ski boats go out, they generally go just out of the harbor and they turn right just by the south breakwater. They explore the areas around there with those small usuri traces that I mentioned earlier, and they catch live baits like sugar mackerel and keep them in tanks on the boat with circulating water to keep them alive. But the last two trips, Shafa'at, when we went out, we saw birds on the north breakwater just as you leave the harbor. So, you know, it's no effort at all, you know, going out to sea and hunting for these bait fish. They were right here on our doorstep. And you throw your usuri out, that trace with like about six hooks, and often you'd hook three sugar mackerel at a time, or even six red-eye sardines at a time. And the other bait we'd catch is mass bunker. So bait is really prolific at the moment. But as the listener mentioned, sugar mackerel is scarce. the bait goes in cycles. Sometimes you'd go out there for days at a time and you can't get any live bait at all. And on some days, you know, it's really prolific. And we were so fortunate, Shafat, that within like about 10 or 15 minutes, we were able to fill our live well up and head out to sea for a day's fishing. Weather forecast is great for tomorrow, so Skalk and I will be heading out to sea. Hopefully, the live baits are still prolific. We'll pull our hatches with live baits and then head out to try our luck for the yellowtail. It'll be awesome if we can catch some yellowtail tomorrow, Shafat.
Yeah, you talk about yellowtails and live baits. Some people talk about the bloodworm, and I believe it can be cultivated in a special tank at home and so forth. Is that true, Adam?
When it comes to bloodworm, Shafar, there are certain rules in KZN where they prohibit fishing with these organisms. But I do know of dehydrated bloodworm that was imported by one of the local importers, and they did get clearance from the authorities to allow it to be used. So I know a lot of anglers used to keep that in their tackle box, and you just have to soak it in a bit of water and then pin it on your hook and use it as good bait. But nothing beats fresh bait, but unfortunately that's a regulated bait in KZN, so we don't even consider it.
You talk about dehydrated bloodworms. I think a lot of people that have aquarium tanks and so forth, fresh water or even salt water, they buy these things. What's the going price of these dehydrated bloodworms or the worms that you get, Adam?
Yes, it was a craze at one time, Shafat, and it was quite popular, but now it's fizzled out and we don't stock it even anymore. But I think they used to sell for about 40 or 50 rand a packet, Shafat.
Yeah, I remember giving my fish a 2B-fix worm. Hey, they still love it. They still love it and enjoy it. A brother from Ashraf says, Assalamu alaikum. Chef, my cousin is coming down from Gauteng for the December holidays. And he says, please make sure that you catch a Dorado that Chef and Adam talk about. Make sure you get a Dorado. It's got me in a tizzy, Adam. I've got everything. How would I get a Dorado for my cousin? Must I book a boat? That's the only time I will catch it. Adam, how you respond to Ashraf here?
Yes, Shafat. One of the boats that I can recommend is simply the best fishing charters, skippered by Jakes. He often posts videos of their trips out to sea. Sometimes they live stream, so you can watch what they are catching. So his style of fishing, Shafat, is especially in summer, they head out quite far north, maybe about 10 miles north to the good bottom fishing grounds. But on the way there and on the way back, they put out lures trying for game fish. And especially from around the 1st of December till, say, around the middle of February, they often catch like about 8 to 10 Dorados per trip. And that's really quite a bonus because he knows some really good bottom fishing spots as well. So this part of the year, you can expect to catch Dorado and on the bottom spots while fishing for good muscle cracker and rock cod as well, you can catch the yellowtail, as I mentioned. So it's a really exciting time for fishing. And I'm also really gunning for Dorado this season, Shafat. I'm really looking forward to it. They make really good eating, as well as when you catch them, they leap into the air and give quite a hectic performance. And they put up quite a strong fight, Shafat, before, you know, hopefully being subdued and bolted, Shafat.
This question says, Adam Kamda, just the other day, I heard my uncle, Karim Kalu, talking about the giant red steenbras and punskop. He says that these brutes can only be caught in Transkei. And he asked me to come along. Please, Adam, advise me how safe is Transkei. I'm frightened to go there. Adam?
Yes, Shafar, the Transkei offers some of the most amazing fishing experiences that South Africa has to offer. In fact, it's a world-class destination. You often have enthusiasts coming from all over the world and booking guides and going down, either roughing it, you know, camping, carrying your own camping gear and camping in designated spots, or using all the amazing accommodation that's popped up on the regular fishing spots, Shafar. Punskop is the area that's really well known for amazing surf angling. Similar word to that is buskop, Shafar. I don't know if you know, people eat the head of the mussel cracker and they call it buskop.
Mm.
When they cook a curry out of that, I think all the cartilaginous fats in the head kind of like melts into the curry and gives it a really buttery taste. And it really thickens up the gravy. And the flavor of the flesh from the head as well is quite unique compared to, you know, the cutlets that you would get out of a fish shawarma.
Yeah, I know about that. People love that type of chow. Have you eaten that, Adam?
Yes, Shafar. I love the bony parts of either meat or fish. So I usually go for the head. You know, like in a family, everyone has a favorite and somehow everything gets consumed. So a lot of people like the tail part. It's easy to eat. Some people like the midsection, but I always go for the bony part. I think the heads have hold a lot more flavor, Shafar, than the rest of the fish.
Well, people, now there's a secret there. Now you know why Adam Kamda is called the Professori and he's brainy. Yeah, go for the head, people. Go for the head. Adam, Tiki Foy is shouting. He say, recipe, Adam. What do you have for us this morning? What's your recipe?
Yes, Shafar, since the yellowtail are on the bite, prepared a recipe, bright yellowtail with apricot ginger glaze. It sounds so exotic, but it is so simple. So you take a whole yellowtail, maybe about a kilo, or even if you have slices, use about a kilo portion. You'll need about 2 tablespoons of olive oil. So you can spray the bright grid with olive oil as well as smear it all over the fish. Then you season your fish with sea salt and freshly ground black pepper to taste. And then for a sticky apricot mix, you mix the following ingredients. You mix 6 tablespoons of apricot jam. You take 1 4-centimeter ginger piece and chop it finely. And you mix this with the juice of 1 lemon and 1 vanilla pod seeded. You give this a good mix and set it aside. Then the cooking instructions, you would basically braise the seasoned fish for 5 minutes on each side and without disturbing it. The best way I found Shafard with this is to use that fish grid. So it stays locked in that grid and it's easy to turn without it sticking to the dry grid itself. And then once it's cooked on each side for 5 minutes, then you start glazing it. You glaze it with this mixture and turn continuously so the glaze doesn't burn. And it takes about 20 to 25 minutes to cook. And you can serve it with the condiments of your choice.
Adam, that glaze did it for me. That glaze. Once you said apricot, I said, hey, my taste buds were jumping. And with a yellow tail, you really brought it alive for me. My taste buds are jumping. Maybe I can have it for breakfast. Your parting words this morning, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, I'd just like to wish my brother well. And my brother AK is in Australia at the moment visiting my sister Fatima. He's gone for a conference as well as a family visit and send a lot of love to Australia. And he's interacting with my nephews and nieces there. And they're all going out having fantastic meals and enjoying all the sights and sounds of Australia. And I'm really looking forward to visiting them as well. So all the best, AK, and salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.